In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production in association with City News.
It doesn't seem to matter if your customers are bargain hunting.
The Target venture into Canada was dead on arrival. The big U.S. retailer announced today it is shuttering its Canadian stores, 133 of them, and throwing in the towel and throwing 17,000 people out of work.
Or if they're chasing the designer dream.
High-end American retailer Nordstrom is closing up shop here in Canada, shuttering 13 stores across the country, including six locations in the GTA.
If you are an American retail chain coming to Canada, basically, you better be Walmart or you're going broke. 8 years after Target's failed Canadian experiment, Nordstrom is packing up and going home, having never turned a profit in Canada during its 9 years in operation. Now, Nordstrom is, generally, a very profitable retailer. Target is Target. It makes billions of dollars every year in the United States, but neither of them could hack it in Canada. Why is that? Is it them or is it us? Is it the retail climate in general? Why does Walmart succeed here when everybody else fails? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Gary Newbury is an award-winning retail supply chain expert. He's the strategic advisor and delivery executive with RetailAid. He focuses on rapid transformation of disrupted retail supply chains and last-mile performance. Hello, Gary.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I want to start by asking you, were you surprised when you heard a couple of weeks ago that Nordstrom was closing, leaving Canada?
I would have been if I hadn't got the inside track. I was given the heads up that something was about to emerge. But with these kind of rumors, they sometimes don't materialize. So I was pleasantly surprised from the fact that the feed of that information actually turned out to be true, but nonetheless quite disappointed in some ways that Nordstrom made that declaration.
Well, how long has the company been in Canada? And how have they done since they arrived here? What do we know about, their success or non-success?
Well, Nordstrom saw Canada as a great new market for them probably about 2011 internally, and they started to disclose their intention in 2012. They've been around here for 10, 11 years, and they've never actually made any money in Canada.
How can that happen? Never made any money.
It's shocking, really, that a company can last that long. But it's because, I think, a whole range of factors. As they were developing their plan to come to, internally, how they were thinking about Canada, back at that stage, the Canadian dollar and the US dollar were at parity, but may have made the business case much more easier to absorb.
Right.
Of course, a few years later, that actually slipped back to its normal pattern of, about one Canadian dollar buys about 70 cents of US. And that changes the whole dynamic about how much products cost when they're brought into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was, if we think about the Nordstrom business, the US part of it, where it's managed from, they've had a number of leadership challenges over that same period that different family members have been kind of jockeying for position. And also they had a sort of go private and then go back public going on behind the scenes as well. So I think that they were a distracted management team or leadership team during the last decade. And therefore, Canada, if it wasn't making too much money, if it was making a small loss, maybe in the overall scale of things compared to some of the issues they may have been facing south of the border was really, why should we spend too much time on that? I'm sure that the management team are working on it. They're going to turn the corner. It's going to be fine. Don't worry. Let's focus on what we've got right in front of our noses. Another aspect would be that people from Canada used to cross the border and go and shop at Nordstrom and were absolutely overwhelmed by what they saw and the service level, the brands on the shelf as such. You know, people talking to people in stores, where are you from? Canada. We love this store. You know, please come to Canada. Much the same as people were saying about Target. So they saw Target moving and they took that perhaps as a good signal that they ought to move as well. You know, this is an open market. Let's go. No sooner did they establish themselves here with opening in 2014, they would have seen Target struggling pretty quickly and then closing shop.
Right.
But that wasn't enough of a signal for them to say, if something as well run as Target in a similar format but much more modern is struggled in this territory, what makes us think that we're going to survive there?
Mm-hmm.
So rather than asking themselves that question, they just carried on scaling their proposition, so they opened up more stores. And having three of these very high-end stores focused in Toronto was probably the root cause of why, over the last 10 years, they haven't actually moved the needle on profitability.
Why don't those stores work here the way they do work across the border, though? Because that's my main question. And I knew a lot of people, less so maybe for Nordstrom, but a lot of people for Target who were incredibly excited to see these stores come here because they used to border hop and shop there. So let's tackle that first, maybe. Like, what doesn't translate?
Yeah, I've never shopped the US Nordstrom store, but people I've spoken to who have suggested that they brought a cut-down version of Nordstrom to Canada. So people who had been across the border and seen all these great brands being presented, when they came to visit Yorkdale or the Eaton Centre, for instance, they said, there's something missing here. Come into the Canadian stores, I wouldn't have the full range of brands that are available south of the border. And I think for people who shop Nordstrom across the border regularly, they would have seen that fairly quickly and said, interesting. This is not the Nordstrom I would have expected to have been delivered here.
We've talked about Nordstrom and Target. Are there other US retailers that have come to Canada and either succeeded or failed? I'm trying to get a sense of what the other competitors in this market look like.
There have been some great stories of businesses coming to Canada, making a good impact on the Canadian psyche, getting into their consideration set and drawing loyalty. For instance, Walmart.
Right.
They have been embedded deeply into the Canadian psyche. We go to Walmart to get good quality stuff, pretty well priced. Home Depot, always there. When you've got a breakdown in your home, they're there. It's on the shelf, reasonable price, okay service. I could say may need to improve in a certain number of areas, but generally speaking, it's there, it's available, it's convenient. McKesson, through its, it's acquired businesses in Canada, like Rexall and I think PharmaSave, Lowe's to an extent until very recently, and Costco,
right.
One of our top retailers. People in surveys, when they think about who are our best retailers, if they shop there, they'd probably likely say Costco. So they're American chains that have come, predominantly ones that have come to Canada and had a success story. Alongside those are an equal number of American brands that have slipped, like Sears Canada. We've obviously had Target come in, very short stay here, and then effectively packed up their bags and went back south of the border. We had Bath, Bed & Beyond, which is a sort of very recent thing where bad management south of the border has influenced the way that the Canadian business has been looked at and is now about to be jettisoned as part of their collapse. Lowe's, as I say earlier, great brand. I really like Lowe's. I've always had a good experience at Lowe's. But the dynamics of Canada and the acquisition of Rona, probably overpriced, have made the overall cost base of a Lowe's business something the American head office decided, if we can find somebody to take it off our hands, we can focus our efforts into the US domestic business.
When you look at all of that, what do the brands that fail here tend to have in common, if anything?
Yeah, I think generally it would be the idea that something which can work south of a border can be exported here as a sort of, how would I say, a corporate model. Like, we're just going to buy stores and just put our proposition into those. Let's not bother with homework. It works south of the border. It's going to work here. So don't worry. And then they start to bump into, companies tend to bump into some of our nuances, like having bilingual packaging. We tend to use metric rather than imperial. Mm-hmm. Our geography doesn't play well versus the US. The US is quite dense. Although there's lots of places where there's lots of white space, nowhere near as much white space as we have in Canada. So the transportation costs, there's a peculiarity that every product that comes into Canada commercially has to be attached to a business number. So somebody has to effectively buy it in Canada as opposed to send it to Canada for resale. Mm. And then we have on top of that, although we're very diverse as a country in terms of different nationalities and stuff, there are clusters of nationalities in different parts. And so you can't actually look at Canada and say, oh, it's all diverse, it's all the same because of that, and therefore this will work in all markets.
Right.
I think, you know, anybody looking at the Nordstrom debacle will see people saying things like, Toronto is not the same as Vancouver, is not the same as Halifax, is not the same as Calgary. And retailers who come from outside into Canada really need to do a lot of homework and be clear. And secondly, find some way of working with people inside Canada to perhaps trial a concept rather than just go for a full bore. We're going to open up 10, 15 stores to start with, populate it with our proposition and just get on with it and see what happens. I think that's quite brash as a strategy.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together, and we were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
How much of Nordstrom's collapse here, and maybe Target's too, was less to do with the difference between America and Canada and more just to do that large retailers are all struggling up here, like especially stuff like The Bay. Obviously, Zellers is gone now and we're back as a tiny gimmick. You mentioned Sears. How much of it is that store is not what people need anymore?
Well, I'm not convinced of that because there was a lot of argument as we went into the pandemic. The broad number of e-commerce as a percentage of total sales was in the order of about 3%. It was bobbling around that level for many years. We went into a pandemic and that dynamic, the way it was calculated, sort of started to rise to 15% because, as you may remember, many stores became non-essential and they were closed. And the only way they could continue to have a revenue stream was to trade on e-commerce on their websites and their apps. But as we emerged out of restrictions, certainly here in Ontario, people just rushed back to the stores. That led to almost a complete collapse of the e-commerce, well, certainly that bubble, and it went back to its natural rate of progression. So we're talking about, say, 5% now. You know, 3 years, it's grown by 2 percentage points. Even though people found websites, people added apps to their phones, it hasn't actually really fundamentally shifted people's behavior.
Interesting.
I think what we find are bigger factors right now are the cost of living crisis, interest rates, and, you know, uncertainty about what the economic future of us might be. And if we're close to retirement age, you know, what will our pension look like? And what's our health conditions as well? You know, so many things are now influencing consumers which will have an influence on their behaviors and how they shop and how frequently they shop and how much they buy when they do shop. The organizations which are predominantly in the discretionary categories like apparel retail, electronics and stuff like that, they will see some change a lot quicker than, say, grocery.
So what happens to Nordstrom now in Canada? And I know they, you know, discount all their merchandise and clear out the stores. To your point, those are big, flashy retail locations, three of them in Toronto, others in large Canadian cities. They leave a hole.
Yes. And there's no obvious, if I think about my local mall, which is the Oshawa Centre OC, we had Sears in there at one end. We had we still got HBC at the other end. The HBC needs a real renovation to become relevant again to consumers. The Sears end is still closed. I mean, it closed in 2017 from memory. These particular stores, the Nordstrom ones, are over 200,000 square feet. So we've got one in the Eaton Centre. We've got one in Yorkdale and one in Shearway Gardens. These are massive plots of land, plots of physical space in areas where we already have other anchor stores. So there'll be probably HBCs or, you know, other bigger box stores. Mm-hmm. I've seen quite a lot of press cuttings around Bed Bath and Beyond saying that, don't worry, they can escape the country, all 55 stores or whatever, and we're going to fill them up, no problem. It could be that many of those are freestanding stores and they're perhaps in some ways a more attractive proposition to some retail chains. But when you're in a mall, you know, the good thing about a mall, people go to the mall and they shop across different stores without having to move their car again.
Right.
So you've got in those three critical malls within the Toronto area, they'll end up with a big space. It sounds to me that the only way that a landlord can fill those would be to do some civil works on that space and create an environment that they can have 5, 6, 10 retailers using that space.
Do you think, given what we've seen from Target, from Nordstrom and the retail climate in general right now, that we will see more American chains attempt to come to Canada? And I mean retail chains here, not restaurants.
Come to Canada? I think in the short term, probably not. There might be the occasional so-and-so opens a store, and that's a regular feature of the Canadian market. People like to come to Canada with one store. It's a great test market because of the diversity of different ethnic backgrounds, etc., and different ways of thinking. If you can survive in Canada, you're likely to be able to survive south of the border when you attempt to scale that proposition up. So we will see lots of small things, but that small thing won't be a big trend in terms of like this store's come to Canada. I think we've got to look at it and think suspiciously look at it and think this is just a test store. They may put two or three stores, and it might be one in Toronto, one in Vancouver, one maybe in Montreal, and that might be the end of that test program. But you might see, if it's a non-American chain, going into the US and expanding at quite a right rate of knots. Will we see more US retailers actually coming out of Canada? And that's entirely possible because it's easy to cut off Canada because it doesn't affect the US market. If a US retailer came out of a particular area in the US, that would be probably front page news for quite a few days, and their brand might actually receive some reputational damage. But when they say, oh, we're closing Canada, someone thinks, oh, that's just closing the state, isn't it? Mm. That's small beer. It's, as I call it, back page gossip.
It will be fascinating to see what happens and who's next. Gary, thank you so much for this.
You're very welcome.
Gary Newbury of Retail Aid. That was The Big Story. For more, you can head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can always talk to us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN or via email, hello@TheBigStoryPodcast.ca. If you'd like an ad-free version of this podcast, you can find one at The Big Story Plus on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to hear this podcast on a smart speaker, just ask it to play The Big Story Podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.